And then Joshua tells them to be obedient. In the language of Joshua chapter 23 and verse 6, he says, "Be very courageous to keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, and do not turn aside to the right or to the left." Joshua continues and he says in verse 8 of Joshua 23, "Hold fast to the Lord." He says in Joshua 23 and verse 11, "Therefore take careful heed. Give attention to yourselves, all of Israel, every individual and every family, that you love the Lord your God." And then when he brings them together to Shechem for the purpose of making a covenant with God, he has these words in Joshua 24, beginning in verse 14. "Now therefore, fear the Lord. Serve the Lord in sincerity, serve the Lord in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river, which your fathers served in Egypt. You serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me, and as for my house, we will serve the Lord." Good morning and welcome to all who are here, especially those this morning that are visitors. I say to you, welcome to all of our visitors. We're glad to have you with us this morning. We are glad that you are here. Lord, let us be together again at 5 o'clock today. We'll assemble at that time in this place at 5 o'clock, and we would love to have you, if you're a visitor, coming to be with us and participate in that hour again today at 5 o'clock. I want to talk to families this morning, and I realize in talking to families, I'm talking to the individuals that make up that physical family. There is a reason I asked Brother Travis to lead that song for us, "Dare to Stand Like Joshua." Because the chorus of that great song summarizes the passages that we've noted in Joshua 24, verses 14 and 15, and the thoughts that I want us to consider together this morning. We sang this song, if you were with us last week on Wednesday night when we gathered in this place for prayer and for Bible study. We closed out last Wednesday night by singing this same song. Choose your king today. Who will lead? That's the sentiment in that song. And so the question in singing that song, as I make melody in my heart to the Lord, am I in a proper position and place to be a teacher and an admonisher of others as I sing this song? And what I'm saying about that, my brethren and ladies and gentlemen, when I sing that song, I have to look at me first and say, okay, am I really serving the Lord? And then number two, am I in a position, am I putting myself in the best possible position to be a leader and an influence of others to serve the Lord? And I cannot respond in the affirmative to either question if I haven't properly made the choice in my life of who's going to lead me. Who's going to be my king? If Jesus is not my king, if Jesus is not allowed to lead and to rule in my life, then I'm not standing like Joshua. And as a result of not standing like Joshua, I will not be in a position, as was Joshua, to influence others. I will not be in a position to influence others in my family to serve the Lord. I think about when we sing, not just this song, "As for me and for my house, we will serve the Lord." Anytime we sing songs and we speak forth words through our singing, I wonder how many times God looks at certain ones and He's in a position to know your heart and to read your heart. I am not. He will be your judge. I will not. But I wonder how many times when those who claim to be following the Lord and serving the Lord, sing songs like, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And God hears me sing that and hears us sing that and says, "Take away the noise of your song," like He did to His people of old through the prophets. What God was saying to Israel at various points in their life is, "I don't want you saying all these things to me. I don't want you singing these songs to me. I don't want you coming before me and offering what's vain and empty. You don't mean it. You haven't been living like it for weeks or months. You say, 'I've chosen and I'm serving the Lord and so is my family,' and God knows otherwise." And God would say to His people, "Take away the noise of your songs." And He does that for a reason. God, in His love, forever wanted His people to think carefully about where they were in life and who was really their God. Who are you serving? Who am I serving? I believe, to be fair and honest, I do believe for the most part, when we gather together in the presence of God and we sing, "As for me and for my house, we will serve the Lord," I believe that that's what we want to do. But that's not always what we do. We need to learn from physical Israel of old. Joshua gathered the people of God together, and God had done everything for His people, and God had provided direction and leadership. He had helped them to deal with their enemies, taking them across the Jordan into the promised land. God in every way had shown His favor and His mercy. And Joshua had done everything right. And when Joshua offers this and says, "Make the choice and make it today," you continue reading in Joshua 24, and Israel says, "That's what we're going to do. Joshua, we'll serve the Lord. We're not going to serve the idols. We're not going to be influenced by the nations around us. We'll do what the Lord says. We'll be obedient to His voice. We'll drive out the enemies. We'll stay pure and holy before God and serve only Him. Joshua, we promise, this is what we'll do." And the text tells us, by the time you get into the Judges and in chapter 2, that there was a generation after the death of Joshua and the elders that outlived Joshua, there was a generation that arose that didn't know the Lord. Had forgotten the things that the Lord had done in the past. And they begin to go back and serve the gods, to be disobedient, to be guilty of idolatry, to cease serving with full allegiance to the Lord. And so the Lord began to oppress them. The enemies began to defeat them. And they went through this cycle in the dark ages where they would serve the Lord and cease serving the Lord. And God would raise up a judge and they'd serve the Lord for a while and they'd stop serving the Lord for a while. And all the while God was patient, but He was dealing with a generation of people that weren't doing what they said they would do. Doesn't take long. Doesn't take long. All it takes generally is for a leader in a household to just stop serving the Lord. And that begins to affect that household. And if the world continues, doesn't mean it has to be this way, but generally they just repeat the cycle. They just repeat the pattern of disobedience. I want to make three basic points this morning. When we look at Joshua's charge before His people and what Joshua is calling upon His people to do. Joshua is calling upon His people to choose. It's always been a call to choose. Everyone makes a choice. Everyone has a choice. God says, "Choose this day." He gives us the right choice and the wrong choice, and He tells us the consequences of the right choice and the wrong choice. But the bottom line is it comes down to each individual each family making a choice. I cannot choose for you. You cannot choose for me. And so Joshua says, you choose this day whom you will serve. It's a call for decision time. None of this straddling on the fence. In fact, to straddle the fence and to fail to make a choice is, in a sense, making a choice. It's the wrong choice. But you've chosen, at least for the moment, for the day, who's going to lead you, who's going to control you, who you'll really serve. As a leader, Joshua had made a decision early on for himself. And because Joshua early on had made a decision for himself, he was putting himself in the best possible position and place to be influenced by others who were great leaders. And so Joshua, making the choice to serve the Lord and to do right before the Lord, had put himself in a place where he could be trained and mentored by Moses to take over when Moses was gone. That's who God wanted. And God knew he could trust this man. God was forever saying to Joshua, Joshua, I'm not expecting you to do it on your own. I will bless you. I will be with you. Joshua, you just make sure that you're one day at a time, every day as a leader before me, strong and courageous, and I will be with you. And so Joshua early on had decided he would learn how best to lead himself so that he could lead others. Man, what I'm saying about that is, as heads of our household, as placed in position by God of leadership, I have to, men, we have to be making a decision, and the right decision, early on to serve the Lord. And then putting ourselves in the best possible position to be the leader that God intends for us to be. I mean, think about what Joshua says. Joshua says, as for me and for my house, we will. Not I hope we will. We will serve the Lord. That's quite a bold statement, is it not? But I can tell you why Joshua could say what he said. Because Joshua had been putting himself early on in the best possible position to be influenced by the right person, the Lord God, and the right people who were leaders of God's people, so that Joshua could get to a place in his own family that he had earned the trust and respect of his family to follow his leadership. Now, everyone makes a choice. Everyone has his or own will. But Joshua was influenced in that choice that his family would make. I've known men. I said, I don't know what to do. I got a 7-year-old, I got an 8-year-old, I got a 9-year-old, I got a 10-year-old that doesn't want to, quote, go to church. Who's leading who? Who's influencing who? As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. And serving the Lord is not simply about going to church. Serving the Lord is not simply about coming into a pew and walking into a classroom where the Bible is taught. Serving the Lord is putting the Lord first place in your life. And if those in my family have seen that Dad's not doing that, oh, Dad may be running to the church building once or twice, even 3 times a week. But what? Who is Dad really? When it comes down to his character, when it comes down to his person, who is this man who's telling me to serve the Lord? He's not serving the Lord. See, that wasn't Joshua. Joshua's family knew that based upon Joshua's life, Joshua's family could understand that Joshua loved and served the Lord. But when you're a decision maker, and when you're an influencer of people, and when you're a leader of people, you have to make a call. A hard call, a necessary call, a right call. And that's what Joshua did. And not just once or twice as a leader. Being a leader is hard. Being an influencer of people is not easy. And so, men, what I'm saying is there are going to be times that we have to, for our families, early on, make a hard call, which is the right call. And says, we'll not do this, we'll do this. We'll not go here, we're going here. This is just who we are, this is what we're going to do. You may not totally understand it at this point in your life. You may not totally appreciate my call at this point in your life. But I'm asking you to trust me, to respect what I'm saying we're going to do as a family, because it's right before the Lord. And in time, if the heart of our children is humble and pure, they'll get to a point where they begin to see for themselves why we made the call that we made way back over here. My admonition is, be a parent, not a pushover. It's a call to choose to put the Lord first. And then when you make that call and you make that choice, it's a commitment to serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's interesting that Joshua could have used words like, we will obey the Lord. Or he could have used words like, we will fear the Lord. Or he could have even used a word, we will love the Lord. But he says, we will serve the Lord. Because to serve the Lord is to love Him. To serve Him is to obey Him. To serve Him is to give Him the honor and the respect and the allegiance that's due Him. And Joshua said, we'll serve the Lord. Back in chapter 23. Back in chapter 23, he had called upon service, but it's interesting to see the language in chapter 23 of Joshua. Serve the Lord in sincerity and truth. Serve the Lord, again, Joshua 24 and verse 14, in sincerity and in truth. I love one translation in Joshua 24, 14 that says, rather than serve the Lord in sincerity and truth, it says, serve the Lord with all faithfulness. I want you to think about that. Serving with all faithfulness. Doesn't sound like going through the motions to me, does it? Doesn't sound like serving the Lord on Sunday and then serving someone else on Monday. Serve the Lord with all sincerity and in truth. With all sincerity. Now again, the Lord knows what I don't know. And so He knows if my service and my worship is sincere. He knows every time, the Lord does, if I'm just pretending. I tell you what I fear some Christians are getting pretty good at, which means you get pretty good at something because you've been working at it really hard. I fear some Christians are getting really good at being people pleasers and people foolers. Fooling people. Putting on an appearance at the right time, on the right day, before the right people, so that the right people on the right day will think this about you when you know and the Lord knows otherwise. Jesus spoke of that as, in some form, hypocrisy. And Joshua is telling the people here, if it's not who you really are, if it's not what you really want to do from a heart of love, then you will not serve the Lord for very long. Because you've been serving the Lord for all the wrong reasons. You've been going through the motions. You don't really mean it. It's not sincere. You're just, quote, playing church. What about you? Are you serving the Lord with all faithfulness? Am I serving the Lord in sincerity? Now, I said we know, and I said certainly God knows. Let me tell you somebody else who eventually will know whether or not my service is a sincere service. My family. That's who we're talking about this morning. My family. Love, loyalty, service, sacrifice. Love, loyalty, service, sacrifice is first modeled in the home. There are no perfect parent, no perfect father, no perfect mother, just like there are no perfect children. But most of the time, our children, my children, can tell whether or not it's a sincere service. And we wonder, and I'm not trying to be unkind, and I'm not trying to open up a wound this morning. But parents wonder sometimes why their children get to a point later in life, in their teen years and their early 20s, that they want to have nothing to do with the Lord. It's not always the result of bad parenting. And yes, sometimes it's just the result of a choice that a child's made when they had every advantage and every opportunity to do otherwise. They chose to go against what their parents taught and modeled. I understand that. But I've known too many cases where the family would sit in the pew twice on Sunday and on Wednesday, and every time almost you would have a service during what we would call traditionally a gospel meeting. And you find out that child, when that child leaves home, wants nothing to do with the Lord. And I've wondered, in that home, have they seen for 18 and 19 years, have they seen sincere service? Who's been leading who? And so Joshua says it's a commitment to serve. A call to choose, a commitment to serve, and finally, the courage that it takes to stand. Joshua says, listen, serve the Lord, but if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, if serving the Lord, Joshua says, seems undesirable to you, then choose you this day whom you will serve. But I'm telling you, Joshua says, I've already made the decision, my family has made the decision, we'll serve the Lord. It's as if Joshua is saying, if everybody else chooses otherwise, I will not, we will not. If serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, Joshua says, it's very desirable to me. You work with, you go to school with, you neighbor around those, for the most part, aren't serving the Lord. And they're not serving the Lord because at this point in their life, it doesn't seem desirable to them. But what about me? What about you? Joshua says, if you would rather serve the false gods than the one true and living God, that will be your choice, but you will suffer the consequences of such a choice. If you would rather enslave your family to a futile God who is powerless to save and protect you, that will be your choice, but you will suffer the consequences of your choice. But here's my point. Joshua's faith was non-negotiable. There was a time when Joshua would draw a line in the sand and he would say, I won't cross this line. This is not negotiable. This is not something that's up for discussion. I will serve the Lord. My family will serve the Lord, regardless of what others decide, what others choose. So, question. Men, fathers, parents, all of us. Where are you taking your cues? Where are you getting your advice and your direction? Who's really leading you? Be advised. Being a leader like Joshua is not something that happens by accident. And it's not something that happens overnight. It took Joshua years to get to a place where he was. But Joshua was willing to grow. Joshua was willing to learn. Joshua was willing to take a stand to do what was right when right was being questioned. Because Joshua was convinced that it was the only way that honored God, and it was what was best for him and what was absolutely essential for his family. And for that reason, Joshua says, this is what I will do, and this is what we will do. Will you dare to stand like Joshua? Have you decided? Have you chosen this day whom you will really serve? Who's really going to lead you? Have you made the decision to let Jesus Christ lead you, direct you, let His Word guide you and influence you? Have you committed yourself to sincere, full-hearted allegiance and devotion and worship and service to the Lord? Are you really enslaved to the Lord? And do you have the courage that Joshua had to, in essence, say, I'm not for sale, I cannot be bought, and my home, the people that make up my home, my household is not for sale. This is non-negotiable. As for me and for my house, we will serve the Lord. Today is a call for a decision. If we call it the Lord's Day, and I think it's right and proper to speak of Sunday as the Lord's Day, but Sunday's not the only day that we're to give to the Lord in service. But on this day, the Lord's Day, the Lord calls for decision. He calls for a choice. Who and what will you choose? Have you decided to follow Jesus? Have you decided to serve Jesus? Have you decided from a heart of love to let Jesus be first in your life and to let Jesus be first in the life of those in your family? If not, it may today demand the leader in that home. If it's my fault in some measure, I need to stand accountable before God and my family, and I need to go to my family. Having gone to my God, I need to go to my family and say, I haven't done so well as a leader, and I'm sorry for that. I've asked God to forgive me. I'm asking you to forgive me. I'm going to try to do better as a leader in this family. I want to serve the Lord, and I want you to serve the Lord, and I'm going to do everything I can to take care of me so I can better take care of you. That may be the decision that some of us men need to make today. And that doesn't necessarily demand that you come before this whole church. If you're convicted by that and you think that's what you ought to do, then that's what you need to do. But I'm telling you, it may be going to your God and going to your family and say, I'm going to make a change. But children, it's hard to lead somebody that won't follow. It's hard to influence someone to do right who's not wanting to do right. And so, children, you're not without responsibility in this. Have you decided to serve the Lord, to put Him first? And as a result of honoring the Lord and serving the Lord, you're honoring your father and you're honoring your mother who are trying to put you in the best possible place to do right. It's the family working together. But there may be someone here this morning who's not on the Lord's side because there's sin in your life. And what you need to do to take care of that sin is you need to have the blood of Jesus to cleanse you. You haven't put Christ on in baptism. You haven't come initially declared that you want to serve the Lord. That you're convicted by your sin and your wrongdoing. You're wanting to repent of that, to turn from it, and to confess your absolute trust and faith in Jesus as the Christ. You want Him to lead you. You want Him to guide you. You want Jesus to be Lord of your life. And for you this morning, what that may require of you is to have your sins washed away through baptism, being immersed in water, so you can be a part of the saved, belonging to God through Christ. And if we can help you this morning to do that, that's what we want to do. Whatever your spiritual need may be, if we can help you to do that, we ask that you come together while together we stand and while we sing. Thank you.
Father.